Carroll poised his ladle over the soup cauldron.
You'll excuse me saying, but we don't look exactly ready to stand off an attack, with every beast sitting about on the beds and the floor. How will you know if the sea rats are stealing up on us under cover of darkness?
Brother Gelf chuckled.
Oh, well, that's sure enough, father.
From out on the lawn, shrieks and curses rent the air, together with the clatter of falling wood. Martha said calmly,
That'll be them now. Right, friends, all to the windows and take up your positions.
The abbot ducked to avoid a hooked window pole that form old Dwirl was carrying.
Will some beast pray tell me what is going on out there?
Martha patted the paws of the two brothers beside her.
It was their idea. We knew Ragabol and his sea rats would come once night fell. So Brother Weld and Brother Gelf had the bright idea of throwing broken glass from the windows of Great Hall out onto the lawn. Then, if the sea rats tried to sneak up in the dark, they'd naturally let us know. It worked rather well, Father. Just listen to them.
Ragabol lurched about on the darkened lawn. He grabbed one of his crew rats, cuffing him about his ears.
Silence, you fool! What's all the yowling about?
The sea rat limped this way and that, trying to dodge the blows.
Some sharp is sticking rods into me football. I couldn't help it, Captain, I swear.
Bull shoved him away scornfully.
Something sharp, eh? I'll give you something sharp if you don't shut up. Any chance we had of a surprise ambush is long gone now. Never mind your footpools. Get some fire in your bellies and try to be like real sea rats. Avast their crew! Charge!
Keeping his voice low as he heard the captain bellowing, Torn the Otacook gave his own orders.
Up to the windows, mates. Let go the water.
Sturdy moles trundled forward to the windows. They hurled out the contents of bowls, pails, pots, pans, cauldrons and buckets. Water cascaded over the rubble heap, which piled outward, protecting the abbey door. The first ranks of sea rats flung tree limbs, planks and long branches against the heap. Ragabol dashed about, shouting encouragement.
The fools won't stop us with a drop of water. Up you go, buckos. Board the place like it was a ship and slay them all.
Crew rats began scaling up the timbers. Unfortunately for them, the wood started sinking into the rubble, which had turned into a big mud heap owing to the water drenching it. However, three of the longest planks spanned the mess, their ends resting on the sandstone lintel above the door. When Ragabol saw this, he waved his scimitar about wildly.
Farron, Hanklaw, Ringe, get up those long bits! Come on, old poles to the planks! Get through those windows! Look sharp!
Clenching blades in their fangs, the sea rats clambered skillfully up the wooden lengths. The planks bellied under their combined weight, but held. Ragabol laughed like a mad beast.
Keep going! We'll make it, mate!
But they never quite made it. Hot root pepper bombs burst on the heads of the lead climbers. Vermin wobbled on the plank tops, trying to hold on whilst fending off the searing packages that pelted them. Torn and the red wall defenders appeared at the window spaces, bringing the long hooked window poles into play. The Otacook and four others latched onto a centre plank and heaved it out from the wall.
Push, friends! Put your backs into it and shove!
Under the concerted effort of the abbey beasts, the plank was forced outward. Sea rats clung shrieking to it as the pole moved it away. With nothing to support it, the plank teetered for a moment, then toppled over backwards at vermin clinging to its underside. Willing paws plied more window poles. Sister Setever, Sister Portula, and a crowd of elders pushed the left plank. Brothers Weld and Gelf, assisted by Gervel, Formole, and three of his crew, pushed the one to the right. They strained and grunted, leaning their weight against the bending window poles. Martha gripped the arms of her chair, lifting her body forward. She could hear herself roaring.
Push! Hard as you can, push!
The planks fell, one to either side of the windows. Wood scraped against stone as they plunged sideways. Wailing sea rats threw themselves clear, some going headlong into the mud heap, others thudding on the paving stones below. The defenders fell in a heap on the dormitory floor, yelling out a great victorious cry.
Red wall!
Martha was about to drop back into her chair when an awful sight froze the breath in her throat. the sea rat Ferran was crouching before her, framed in the window. He had leaped from the first plank before it had begun its backward journey. Latching onto the sill, Ferran had hauled himself up onto the window ledge. Now he perched there, snarling, a long dagger in one paw, ready to kill. In front of him, the abbot had risen from the jumble on the floor and was standing with both paws raised wide, joining in the joyous shout of Redwall with his back to the window. Time stood still. Martha's voice had deserted her. She was holding herself up with her paws still gripping the chair arms. In front of her, Abbot Caddle stood smiling at the hair maid and cheering lustily. Behind him, the sea rat raised his dagger, preparing to stab at the abbot's unprotected back. Alarm bells were clanging furiously in Martha's brain, coupled with the voice of Martin the Warrior thundering at her.
Save your abbot!
It was over in a flash. Martha stood upright, charging past Carol and pushing him to one side. She hit the sea rat, knocking him right out of the dormitory window. Torren came bullying forward. He grasped the hair maid's waist, pulling her back into the room.
You walked! Martha! You walked! You walked! You walked!